We will turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Corinthian church is a very famous church. In the scriptures, there was a lot of things that Paul was teaching the Corinthian believers. And we can learn an awful lot from them too. He taught them about love in 1 Corinthians 13. He taught them about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. He taught them about, just a long list. And probably part of the reason he did that was because they were battling division and carnality. They were a worldly, diseased church. They were struggling. They were taken out of a very godless society. Not taken out of it. They were saved out of a godless and pagan society and now are trying to live a Christian life, and they were struggling. There was dissension. There was arguing, fighting, anger. And Paul teaches them some very important principles of building the kingdom. As I was thinking about the people that would be here this morning, I was thinking about all of the different ways that we impact the kingdom of God. And no matter where we live, or whether we live here or far away, whether we worship together or apart, that we are interested in building the kingdom of God. And I believe the Lord just wants us to think about for a few minutes here some of the principles of building the kingdom of God, some important things to remember that he teaches us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So why don't you stand with me? We're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Father in heaven, we ask you to open our eyes to the truth this morning. We ask you to guide and direct our hearts to understand what is right. Help us to apply the principles of your scriptures unto our lives. I pray that your Holy Spirit would apply this truth today in ways that I could never do it. I pray that you would protect me from saying anything untrue, that you would put a guard over my mouth. I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint not only the things that I say, but the ears that hear me, and that you would be pleased by our time in your word. We pray that you would guide and direct our hearts unto you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. See, these Corinthian Christians were still babes in Christ. They were still not able to handle the meat. They were having to take milk still. They weren't growing up. And so Paul decides to take them back to the basics, to the principles of the important work that they were doing, the important work that all of us as believers in Christ are to do to build the kingdom of God. Here's some principles that I see taught in this passage of Scripture. The first one is the divine increaser. The divine increaser. It is God that brings the increase among the church. In verses 6 and 7, he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The fruit that comes from the work that we are doing is caused by God. It's not that we say, oh, I'm of this denomination or I'm of that denomination. It's, you know, you can say, well, I'm of Wesley, well, I'm of Calvin, or, you know, I'm of Whitfield, or I'm of so-and-so, I'm of whoever. I follow his teaching. Wait a second. Paul is saying, look. The names of these teachers are nothing. Even Paul, the greatest doctrinal teacher in history, half of the New Testament's written by Paul. He says, I am nothing. It is God that brings the fruit. And it is very important as we seek to advance the kingdom of God, to proclaim the truth in the various ways in which all of us are doing it, that we remember who the increaser is. Who's the true husbandman? We are his workmanship. Spiritual growth is dependent upon him, the strengthening that we go through, the holiness, the walking in deeper wisdom and greater understanding of truth comes from him. Physical growth, an increase in numbers, a greater ability to impact the kingdom of God through financial provisions and other resources comes from him directly. Even in nature, no plant ever grows without the blessing of God. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, I believe the rock is Jesus, and he's also talking about Peter, but he's talking about mostly himself. It's a dual meaning. But he says, I'm going to do the building. I will build my church. It's not that we build the kingdom, folks. We don't build anything. He does the building, and that's very, very important. It's probably one of the most important principles of ministering in God's name that we can ever have or ever understand, is that he is the increaser. It's all about God's glory, not our own. It's all about lifting him up, not us. We don't want our name to be great. We don't want people to say, wow, that Jared Hinton, whoo, he's amazing. That Ezekiel guy, man, he's incredible. Oh, I just love that Katie. She's so wonderful. I follow Katie Hinton. I am of Katie. I am of Meredith. Well, I am of Jared. Well, I am of Gregory. See, those names should not be the first thing people think about when they think of the kingdom of God. We're not trying to raise up the kingdom of Grace Bible Church. We're not trying to raise up the kingdom of any other place. We're trying to raise up the kingdom of God and glorify him, and it's about his name, lifting up his name. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. He does it. The only thing we do is point and say, hey, look, there's Jesus. And he does the drawing. That kind of thinking helps us get along. When we're all about Jesus, when we're all about lifting up the divine increase and remembering who the true source of the fruit is, It helps people get along that otherwise maybe wouldn't. If we get bogged down in focusing on doctrinal nuances, we can be like, well, they're totally different than me. I'm not going to fellowship with them. But if we start thinking about, let's point ourselves to Jesus, there's a whole lot of fellowship that happens. At the foot of the cross, there's a whole lot of fellowship that happens. How many Christians take pride in what they have done for the kingdom? Now, I mean, you can think about the greatest ministry leader that you can imagine, down to the lowest, quote-unquote, nobody that nobody knows about. They all struggle with this, I guarantee you. What have I done for the kingdom of God? I'm so proud of what I've done. That's like a hammer taking credit for the house. That's like a it's like a power saw going, look what I have created. No, you haven't. It's the tool it's the builder that does the work. He's just using a tool. We're a tool in the hand of the Lord. He is the divine increaser. He's the owner of the farm. He gets the credit. Imagine that. Well, a few years ago, we went up to Michigan to interview with the church up there, and one of the elders in the church was named Frisky, and he owned Frisky Orchard. He is the owner of the orchard. Now, imagine, he talked about, the laborers that he would hire to come in and work during the harvest season to harvest all of his fruit and the other things they were growing. Now, imagine if some of those laborers that he had hired to harvest his fruit decided to sell a little bit on the side of the road. They're out in the country, maybe the boss isn't coming by, and they just kind of go, hey, come to the corner of such and such tomorrow afternoon at 3, and I'll give you a discount on some really great fruit. Well, those guys are thieves. They're taking that which does not belong to them, and they are getting credit for it. They're getting payment for it. And that's what we are like when we try to take credit for the fruit that God brings forth in his own orchard, in his kingdom. If we try to take credit for that, we're thieves. And we need to be on guard against that. The divine increaser. He's the one that brings the increase, and that's very, very vital that we remember that principle. The second principle that we want to look at is the rewarded co-laborers. The rewarded co-laborers. In verse 9 it says, we are laborers together with God. We labor with him. Together with God we labor. We work right alongside of the great increaser. He gets the glory, but we get to help. And that is an incredible honor. That is really a joy to a believer to be able to say, I'm working with God on his behalf, alongside of him. He's getting all the glory, but I get to see. I get to be a part of what he is doing. Why we're given this privilege, I don't really know. It's not like he really needs us. The great creator of all things, the one who ordained time itself, the creator of gravity, the creator of physical forces we don't understand, time and space, the immensity of the universe, that guy doesn't need our help to get people into his kingdom. He can do it all by himself. He can do it. And yet he chooses to use you and me. Why? I'm not sure. I think he just loves it. I think he enjoys seeing us participate, either to plant, to water, or to harvest in the field that he has planted. It's kind of like, have you ever tried to build something and tried to get your children to help you? Or, you're doing some sort of work, maybe you're vacuuming the floor, you're folding a basket of laundry, and, if you're working with those children, if you want them to learn it, you bring them along and you have them help you. Now, you could probably do it 3 times faster than if you have them help you. Like, sometimes it's like, nope, I got to get it done, sorry. But other times, you want them to learn. You want them to grow. And it means that you slow down and you take patience and you give them the opportunity to learn this and to do it with you. Let's fold this basket of laundry. No. You got to put the sleeve this way and then the other one, and then you fold it in half, and now it's done. You put it on a pile, and you don't touch the pile until you're ready to put it away, because then they all fall over. Right? That's the way it is when you work with young children or sometimes older children. Hey, it's time to frame the house. Okay, look, I can frame this house. Boom, ba-doom, ba-doom. I know how to use a nail gun. Kapow, kapow, kapow. And we're going up, right? If I bring along my son, I'm going to say, okay, hold this gun. No, point it over there, this nail gun. And you've got to press the tip into the wood. And once you have it engaged, then you press the trigger just one time, kapow. And he probably goes, like, shoots like three at once. That's what happens when you first learn. Right? And that's going to take me like three times longer, but it's still good and it's still important. And I think that's the way God is. See, God could go, and all the kingdom work get done. He could go, and it's finished. It might be, but for brevity's sake, I'm abbreviating the sound effect. But the point is that he slows down and he takes the time to let us do it with him. He patiently guides us. He patiently instructs us. He says, here, this is the way you need to do it. He says, okay, well, you shot four or five nails into this one board. We're going to have to take it out and put a new one on. But that's okay. You see, that's the honor that we have to be part of the building of God's kingdom. It's a great honor to work for someone great. And we not only get the honor of working with him, we receive a reward. Verse 8, it says, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We're promised a payoff. We're not asked to do it for free. It'd be an honor just to do it for free. But he promises a reward to those laborers according to their labor. That's important. Better the labor, the better the reward. You see, it's not that all rewards are equal. The Bible teaches that some rewards are magnificent and some rewards are lesser. According to the labor that we give is the reward we are given. In Matthew chapter 25, we get a very clear presentation of that in the parable of the sower, not the sower, of the talents. You see, if we choose to do good in God's name, if we choose the good, we will receive a good reward. If we choose the better actions, we will receive a better reward. And if we choose the best thing, we will receive the best reward. That which we do in this life has an impact upon eternity. Not just for the souls we take with us, but for the reward that we will receive. Our labor in the kingdom of God is important. The laborers that sit around and, you know, just kind of take their ease and enjoy the comforts that they have earned and are lazy and slothful, they receive a small reward. Those that get up and grab their tools and get their work clothes on, throw on some coveralls and get sweaty and get their hands dirty in the building of the kingdom of God, those that invest themselves, their resources, remember we talked about taters, talents, abilities, time, opportunities and resources. You take your taters and you invest them in God's kingdom earnestly with your whole heart, you receive a much greater reward than if you just sat back in the corner and just kind of watched the world go by. God hates passivity. He doesn't like it when people just sit back and do nothing and and just don't get involved. Well, there's a time and a place for waiting on God. That's a different thing. I'm talking about passivity. I'm talking about there's a need, and God wants you to step in. He's ready for you to step in and get busy, and you just are afraid to, and you step back in the corner. That is not the laborer that is rewarded. A few scripture verses for you to think about here. Psalm 58, verse 11 says, "Verily there is a reward for the righteous." Psalm 58, 11. Matthew 6, verse 4 speaks of open reward given to those that do good deeds in secret. And Matthew 16, 27 says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his work." What kind of work are we doing? Your reward will be in accordance with your labor. So that better make us pay attention to what kind of labor we're investing in God's kingdom. It's very important to remember, however, that it is still He that does the work in us. It's still Him that does the work in us. Colossians 1:29. We've talked about the divine increaser. We've talked about those rewarded co-laborers, you and me. We get to co-labor with the Lord and receive a reward. The last thing that Paul points out to us, at least in this arrangement of the information here that we call a sermon, is the one foundation. The one foundation. Verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." There is no other foundation upon which the church can be built except Jesus Christ. He is the only cornerstone. He's the only way. Jesus said in John 14, "No man comes to the Father but by me." John 14, 6. "No one can get to the Father except through Him. There is no kingdom apart from Him. He is the rock upon which the church is built. He is the foundation of everything." Everything that we do in God's kingdom, every lesson that is taught, every verse that is memorized, every prayer that is offered, every sermon that is preached, every cup of cold water given in the name of Jesus is done upon the foundation of Him. And it cannot be done in any other way and still bring about fruit. It is all because of Him. Everything we do, every event we plan, every time we share the gospel, every track we hand to a stranger is based upon the foundation of Jesus Christ Himself. We have to remember that. The one foundation, the only one there is Jesus Himself. And we must remember that wherever we go, wherever life takes us, whatever ends up happening in 2020. There's a lot of uncertainty for me and my family in 2020. I imagine for a lot of us, we don't know what's coming. But whatever does come, we will build the kingdom upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, or no kingdom will be built. That is the only foundation we have. Well, I really shouldn't say it won't be happening, because it is an irresistible kingdom. The kingdom of God will go forward. It's just a matter of whether or not we choose to partake in the work in which He is doing. I want to partake in what He's doing. But we have to remember that He is the foundation. It is all founded in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we say we need to base our beliefs on the Word of God, we're talking about the Bible, but we're also speaking about the living Word. Jesus Christ is the Word alive. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us in John chapter 1. Acts 4, verses 11 and 12. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Acts chapter 4, I believe that's Peter talking to the high priests and saying, you took this cornerstone, you took this stone of offense, and you made him as if he was nothing, but now God has made him the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone was the most important part of the foundation. Every other part of the building was going to fail if the chief cornerstone was off by even a fraction of an inch. They had to have that cornerstone placed in just the right spot with just the right angle so that all the other stones built, all the rest of the foundation would be solid, would be straight and level, and so then everything else they built upon that foundation would be solid and level and firm. And that is Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. John Wesley said it this way, Jesus Christ, in his person and offices, is the firm, immovable rock of ages, every way sufficient to bear all the weight that God himself or the sinner, when he believes, can lay upon him. Jesus Christ bears all the weight that we can lay upon him. Every weight of every sin I've ever committed or ever will commit is laid upon the shoulders of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every aspect of the kingdom of God, everything that we do to build the kingdom of God, is laid upon his shoulders, and he is perfectly sufficient to bear all of that weight. He is the only foundation. And if we try to lay a foundation upon anything else, if we try to build upon anything else other than Jesus Christ, it shall crumble. It shall fail. What we build upon this foundation is important. Look there at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Let every man take heed. That which we build upon this one foundation will one day be tested. Take heed. Take heed. Paul is saying, be careful. He's saying, pay attention to what kind of things we are building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. The eternal foundation should have eternal material in its construction. The kingdom of God should have eternal material in its construction. And really, God is saying, I won't let anything else get by. I'm going to test it with fire, and the stuff that won't last will get burned up. But the stuff that will last, the stuff that's eternal, that'll stay. It'll be tested by fire. What can we build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ? What can we invest? Well, here are things that last. Here's an abbreviated list. You probably could think of a few extras. Things that last. Love, patience, relationships. The relationships that we have together in this room will last for eternity. Now, hopefully they'll last for eternity in heaven. But not everyone goes to heaven. Some people go to hell. But our relationships that we invest, especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we will continue to have those relationships in heaven. Those things last, and they will grow and become better. Wisdom. Wisdom is eternal. Souls are eternal. When we bring someone unto Christ and God saves them, that's a soul that goes to heaven, that we can see one day. God's word is eternal. Good works are eternal. If God is glorified, if it's a genuine good work, it lasts forever. The fruit of the Spirit, discipleship, kindness, generosity, faith. Those are some of the things that we build upon in the kingdom of God, that we invest into the kingdom of God that lasts. Here are some things that don't last. Houses, cars, material wealth, anger, pride, things that are done for self, entertainments, trophies, Super Bowls, World Series, bad doctrine, the institutions of men, jobs, investments, businesses, stocks, the list goes on and on, clothing. It goes on and on. Those things that don't last, we ought not to be worried about those things. Those things are, should not be things that we invest in the kingdom of God. Those are not, those are the wood, hay, and stubble that if we try to build upon that foundation, that wood, hay, and stubble gets burned up. But there are things that last, and we should take heed that what we are building will last forever. The fire will prove us, both now and in the last day. Verses 13 through 15 teach us that both now, in the trials and tribulations that we face in this life, the fires of this world will try us. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. The fruit that comes from the things that we do and invest in, if it's lasting, it will last through the fire if it is eternal. The things that are not eternal will get burned up. They'll often perish even before the fires of the end times. The end time fire is the judgment of God. It's when God sits on his throne and he judges and offers a reward or condemnation for the way in which we have lived our lives. Now look, folks, I'm not talking as much about the justification that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about, you know, whether or not we are justified and allowed to enter the paradise of God, the kingdom of heaven, the heaven that where God lives. We come into heaven by faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. It's not based upon what we do that God says, okay, you can come into heaven because you've done enough. That's not what I'm talking about. That is faith and faith alone. That is the work of Jesus Christ already accomplished. What I am talking about is believers in Jesus Christ who are interested in being part of the labors that God is doing in the world, that are seeking to build the kingdom of God with him, to be part of what he's doing. Take heed that what you are building will last, because the reward that God is planning for you will be in accordance with what you do. Don't settle for something that's okay. You know those commercials on TV? Okay is not okay. Just okay is not okay. Invest in the better, the bigger, the best things. Then your reward will be something that you will be stunned by. You see, he even says in this passage, they will be saved, but they shall suffer loss. If everything you've built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ as a believer, you've tried to build things that are not going to last. If you've sought after a great career and all these material possessions, or worldly accomplishments, and you get all that stuff at the end of time, it's going to go, just be gone. And you will suffer the loss of those things. You get to come to heaven, you'll be saved, but you suffer the loss of all of that time and all of that investment. That's why it's important to take heed that our investment is eternal, that we remember what's important and what will last. How does your section of that building look? As we build upon that one foundation, all of us in different places, different ways, different parts of the world even, how does your part of the building look? Is it full of gold, jewels, silver, things that last through the fire? Or is it full of wood, hay, kindling that goes whoosh? Hopefully you don't got flash paper. Most of you have seen me do my flash paper trick where the paper just disappears in fire. Let's not build our building out of flash paper so when the fire comes, it just disappears. So remember these three principles. The divine increaser. He is the one that brings the fruit. And they that plant are nothing. They that water are nothing. He is everything. He brings the fruit. Secondly, remember what an honor it is to be part of God's family and be given the privilege of laboring with him in his kingdom. And the reward that he promises to us. And that reward is based upon how? Based upon our labor. According to his labor. And lastly, remember the one foundation, the only cornerstone upon which everything else is built. Everything that we do must be built upon him. And everything that we do should match his nature. It should be eternal. We want it to last. So take stock, take heed. Just a great way. The Bible says it so much better than I can say it. I should just read the Bible and just stop talking so much. Don't say amen. That's not nice. Take heed what we're building on that foundation. And rejoice in the beautiful foundation that he is. What a wonderful foundation we have. And as we come to the close of 2019, this year is ending in a few days, and a new year comes upon us. As 2020 comes to us, let's remember and rejoice in the foundation that we have, in that beautiful and perfect cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. And let's take heed to build upon that cornerstone things that will last for eternity, and invest our energy and our lives and ourselves into eternal kingdom things this year. Wherever we go, wherever we live, whatever we do, let's invest in the kingdom. It's important that we remember these principles of kingdom building. These things will help to guide us, help to bring us back to center when we kind of get off the path a little. We go, okay, who's that divine increaser? I am a rewarded co-laborer, and I trust in the one foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for setting a good foundation, for laying a clear path before us. Thank you for giving us here in your word the principles that we need to remember to be effective in your kingdom. Would you please make us effective? Would you please guide us? Would you help us to depend upon you for our strength, that we would not depend upon our own strength, but on yours alone? We love you. We are grateful for this truth, and we give you glory in Jesus' name.